Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
That is all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, talking about everything going on in the world of mixed martial arts. As Sean Desay is, we're buried in snow. He is out in San Diego.
Yeah, we've got some weird like flu thing going on here, and he's playing with whales.
Yep, whales and dolphins. That's what he's. And I'm assuming sushi at some point because that's really the only reason you go there.
That's what happens to the whales and dolphins after Sean gets a hold of them.
Yes, you clearly never watched The Cove then, I'm guessing. Okay, online at Twitter and Facebook, just search Wow Show and WowMMAShow.com for the website. Lots of crazy stuff going on this weekend. We will talk to Uncle Chael. He will stop by. Plus, we'll break down UFC 157. You may or may not have heard that there's a pay-per-view, and there may be some historical implications that may be happening this weekend.
I heard there might be a lady fight.
There is a rather large lady fight that we will talk about.
They're
a
not
bit.
That big, Eric. I don't know why you'd say that about them.
Wow. Okay. We've got that to cover, and as you can tell, we're well prepared to cover it. And then we'll talk a little bit about Dana White's stance on TRT. But before we get to that, there was a big news item this week in that 15 fighters got the axe on Tuesday into Wednesday afternoon, and then Dana dropped the bombshell yesterday in the pre-fight scrum, this new thing that he's doing that's before the fight. He just sits down and rambles whatever's going off at the top of his head. And in that rambling, let everyone know that not only were these 15 fighters, one of whom is 14-3-1, John Fitch, were all let go, but yet there's another 100 on the way, kids. So if you're in the prelims this weekend, I would say you better step in the octagon to murder somebody because you're essentially on notice at this point.
Yeah, well, the Facebook fights, it's winner take all, it seems like, this point. You win yes. or you go home, and this is I guess it's just an extension of that Ultimate Fighter brand, really, at this point. You win or go home, and that's really what it's looking like. And I know everybody's talking about the Fitch's record. What is it again?
14-3-1.
1-2-1 in his last four. And let's remember, he got out-fitched in that last fight. If you're going to go in there and you're going to be John Fitch, you can't let somebody dominate you the way Damian Maia dominated him. And it wasn't that Damian Maia laid on him. That's underselling and not really telling the story of that fight. Damian Maia was able to control John Fitch for an entire fight. And, I mean, John Fitch couldn't do a single thing. There's a lot going on with John Fitch there. We talked a little bit in past shows about the fact that he's been a guy that not necessarily everybody has thought is the best fighter in the world, but is a really good and solid fighter. He made a lot of money, though. $100,000 a fight he averaged, John Fitch.
Wow.
Can you really? I think it was higher than that, really.
I mean, I know his base was 60, so yeah, that doesn't make
sense. Yeah, you fight, you win, and then you go out there and you make $100,000 on a fight. Is that a guy they can afford anymore? You talked about another 100 fighters getting cut. All these guys got absorbed by Strikeforce. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something in those deals. I don't know anything any more than another guy on the street, but this strikes me as a case where those Strikeforce deals may be inflated for certain guys. When you look at the cards that they were putting on, maybe there's some guaranteed money in there. Zuffa is going to be responsible for all of that. So not only do they have to absorb all the contracts that they can essentially cut from Showtime, they no longer have Showtime money propping that up. They no longer have gates from Strikeforce events.
So a guy like Gurgel, is he still getting paid from Zuffa, or was he, if you got cut in that last event, are you done?
I would guess that he's not getting paid. I'm sure there were fight-to-fight guys, but there's going to be other guys, and we're going to talk about it later in the show. I believe Robbie Lawler's coming up on this card this weekend. You got to wonder, he was a decent name.
Sure.
And he was a fairly decent fighter for Strikeforce to have. Is there guaranteed money there? Is there a number of events he has to fight? What's going on with those Strikeforce contracts? They're not probably the same as UFC contracts. We thought that when we saw this Fox deal and then the FX shows and then the Fuel shows, which is essentially their UFC network now that they've gotten, we knew there'd be a lot of spots to fill. I didn't know if they'd fire anybody, but the more you break this down, you talk about 100 other fighters, that would still surprise me. I'm not as surprised thinking about all the Strikeforce fighters they had to probably absorb into the deal. We don't know what their deals were. There could have been very bad deals in Strikeforce that Strikeforce just threw out there to get guys and to get fighters. So I'm not as surprised, maybe. John Fitch is a guy. Yeah, he's a great fighter. I feel bad that he's out of a job, so to speak. But this is a situation where a guy like John Fitch, you have him ranked where? Number nine on your rankings?
Nine, yes. Yeah.
Are you going to pay a number nine guy number two or three money
to
go out there and fight?
Sure, and to that end, in Dana's pre-fight scrum, he was talking about, you know, some of the reporters were asking him, was it Fitch's fighting style? Because, you know, as you alluded to with the Maya fight, he got out-fitched by Damian Maya. You know, was it the fighting style? Did you just not like him? And Dana was like, look, I see the fans screaming his name, which I think is awesome for John, but facts are the facts. He was ranked number one, went into a battle with George St. Pierre and lost. Then he was ranked number two. Then he was ranked number three. Now he's all the way down to number nine. So in my opinion, as the business owner, and he made clear a couple of times that if you think it's a dumb decision, blame it on him because he wants to shoulder that blow, I guess. That in his opinion, this was a guy who is on the wrong side of the welterweight top 10, as opposed to a guy like Johnny Hendricks or a guy like Condit or McDonald that are going in the upward direction.
Yeah, it's definitely a case where I think you have to look at the value you're getting out of a guy and how much you're paying him. John Fitch is that guy where you want to say, well, he's a top 10 fighter in the world. Top 10 fighters should always be in UFC. There should be enough slots. But really, I mean, if you get out of those top couple guys, are you making money on those guys on pay-per-views? Probably not. Are you able to headline a card on Fox with those guys? Probably not. The other thing we have, you mentioned it, that battle against George St. Pierre. This is a guy who's not a former champ. Former champs can headline cards.
Sure.
Former champs can go on Fox. You can put Rashad Evans and Machida in there. You can put Vitor Belfort in
there. You could re-sign Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, those guys can headline cards. Those guys are former UFC champions. And you can argue, I'd let you argue the point all day, that John Fitch is as good as or better than some of those guys when he was at the height of his career. Problem is, he never got to grab that belt. Never got to become a UFC champion. That makes it a lot harder to promote him. That makes it a lot harder to put him on cards. And for everybody that's saying this is an asinine move or this is a done move or they can't believe this move, you said it off air, Eric. Bellator hasn't signed this guy.
No.
He's such a big get. Why isn't Bellator gone and got John Fitch immediately? They've said they're not going to sign him, correct?
Yeah, Bjorn Rebney, who is the Dana White of Bellator, I mean, responded immediately. Are you crazy? No, we're not signing John Fitch. That's crazy.
No. That's not what Bellator needs. They need fighters like Mo Lawal, who will go in there against a guy that nobody expected him to lose to.
That nobody's ever heard of. That, you know.
Well, I forget his name off the top of my head, but
right.
You know what? I saw that guy knock out Mo Lawal on ESPN's SportsCenter Top 10. That's a guy they need that's willing to go out there and bang, essentially. And I know people hate it. People call it ultimate kickboxing. People have a lot of names for it. But for a guy in Bellator, I mean, what kind of death knell would it be to have John Fitch go in there and lay on a lower-class opponent for three rounds?
Well, and that's to me where the hole is for Bellator, not to take this off track, but they need to have those crazy fights where it's flying inverted triangles and Mo Lawal getting knocked out by a guy you've never heard of before in your entire life. All that craziness, that's where they need to live, in the world of crazy, where just crazy MMA stuff happens in this tiny cage with Jimmy Smith. Like, that's where they need to live.
Pride made millions of dollars on that for years,
yep,
living in that crazy zone until the Yakuza chopped everybody's hands off.
Yes, until that happened. So, I mean, once you see Bellator and Spike start having hologram introductions of King Mo Lawal, we know we're on the right track. But the land of crazy is where that needs to be, and John Fitch's style is not crazy. John Fitch's style, to go back to last week, is probably one of the reasons I would think that you could make an argument for why you wouldn't be excited about those wrestlers who can't go to the Olympics coming into MMA.
You think people should be excited or shouldn't be excited?
That those who would argue, well, I don't want all those wrestlers coming over because they're going to
certainly
on people. And
again, I hate to say it. I mean, I actually John Fitch was one of those guys where I came around to his fighting style. He was always active. He didn't just lay on guys. The problem was he had a very specific skill set, and he got manhandled by that skill set by Damian Maya. That's going to make it tough. You're 1-2-1. There was a lot of talk about money, too. I remember a couple years ago where the last fight before the Maya fight, I believe it was, with the Hendricks fight, he lost that fight. And after the fight, he talked a lot about, oh, I had to take that fight. I shouldn't have taken it, but I had to feed my family. I imagine that's got to rub your boss the wrong way when he's paying you $100,000 every time you fight if you're out there telling people you can't feed your family.
Yeah, because let's say, for example, you're John Fitch, and I don't know what he fought that year, but let's say you fought four times. I know, Ken, that if you took our salaries, and I know that's not a fair comparison, but if you added them up, I assure you they won't get to $400,000.
Oh, yes, sure. And I believe, you know, if you put all the fights together and you put the sponsorships in, you get around that. And he fought more like twice a year. So I want to be fair to all that situation.
And to be fair to that situation, he's got to pay the camps. Get all of that stuff. But
no, he's making decent money. Like you said, he's probably around 60 grand to show up. And then he's got his win bonuses and any other off the record or off the books bonuses that the UFC has been known for. The guy's making a decent amount of money. And like what you say, you put you and I together, we're not making John Fitch money. And
no, but I guess the other lesson out of this is, I said it in the beginning of the segment, is if you're on the undercard this weekend, you better murder the guy who's in the cage across from you.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is, do not, under any circumstances, unless you have gold strapped around your waist at this very moment, do not go out and do something stupid with that bonus money, like buy a Bentley. Invest that stuff. Because at some point, you're going to need that money to work for you.
Oh, definitely. And that's a situation, too. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to bag on John Fitch.
No, I'm not either.
It's been a bad week. But I mean, the guy, you know, he's rumored to have a couple of houses. He's leveraged on mortgages. He got bit really hard by the economy, like many of us did.
Sure.
And yeah, that bit him in the ass. But, you know, and that's always been a thing with athletes. Don't ever say you can't feed your family when you're making more than almost everybody else in the country.
Right.
That's a bad thing to say. I got to feed my family.
And to the average fan, and this is not a truism, so don't send me hate mail, but to the average fan, John Fitch works twice a year.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The average fan has no idea what he's doing in the background, but to the average fan, I can't feed my family. I made $200,000 and I showed up for an hour twice this year.
Right. That's exactly what it feels like, and that's going to rub your employer wrong. And that's a situation, too, where it feels like there's a little more to this. I'm not sure exactly what. Uglier in this situation, you talked about it on Twitter this week. There were a lot of guys who found out via tweets that they were let go.
Ulysses Gomez is one of those guys. I put his tweet up to Ariel Helwani. Ariel drops the bombshell on Twitter of, these are the 15 guys that are getting cut. Ulysses finds out from that tweet that he was cut. Dana has since come out and said it was his fault. He mishandled the information, and yes, those guys, there was people on our Facebook page at WOW Show going, that can't be true. He totally knew or didn't answer the phone or whatever. Nope, Dana said it was absolutely true. There was about half those guys that had not been notified until Ariel Helwani notified them via Twitter.
And that was one of those things that really bothered me this week, and I'm glad Dana's apologized. I don't know if I still think it's right. You've got three men involved in the situation. This went from Joe Silva to Dana, and then Ariel Helwani, who's worked very hard and very long in this business to get the connections he has. He has the UFC tie-in to get those names. I'm a little disappointed, probably, in all those guys. The fact that the information went from Joe Silva to Dana without Joe making it clear, hey, I haven't notified these guys yet. Dana then gives that information to Ariel without knowing whether or not these guys have been notified yet. And Ariel seems like a guy who should know to ask the question, have these guys been notified yet? He's in the UFC family now. He's not a straight journalist, so to speak,
so
in that regard. He should be asking that question.
He should, but at the same time, Ken, if you're in the UFC family, and I'm not going to be apologetic to any of those guys because I think it's terrible too, I don't know that you would be wired, if you already work within the company, to go back to your journalism school two-source ruling before you put something out.
Well, I don't know if it's two-source ruling as much as it's just consideration for some of those fighters and the fact that you're in that family. And again, it sounds like, especially after Dana came out, and he did, he took the brunt of the criticism. He apologized. He said it was wrong. He said it's never going to happen again, and I believe him. It seemed like that perfect storm, for lack of a better term,
sure,
where this guy didn't tell this guy that this was going to happen, and this guy had enough access to know this, and then it got on Twitter, and bam, oh my God, this guy got fired on Twitter, essentially.
Yep.
It seemed like that perfect storm. I'm disappointed. I'm glad there's an apology. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be disappointed about the situation. Probably one of the most distasteful things I've seen happen from the company in a while. Again, I'm glad they apologized quickly. It looks like they're trying to get ahead of it. I doubt it'll ever happen again. If it does, it's going to be very upsetting.
And now, you've seen some sort of some tentacles of this, if you will. You've seen a couple guys that get cut after events, and that trickles out of locker rooms, and that's essentially how they find out. But when you're doing a mass firing, this is a much different, you know, a much different scenario.
Oh, yeah, this is certainly a scenario a little more like, and we've alluded to it before, we talk about pro wrestlers because they're very similar in their job status as independent contractors. Yep. WWE, they fire a group of people usually at the end of March, April, every year after they do their
right
big pay-per-view.
After WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. They usually do that. And, I mean, some of those guys end up coming back very quickly after. It's a money thing. They're going to look at your numbers. They're going to figure out how much you're making them. Are you costing them too much money? If that's the case, if you're costing too much money, there's other guys that they can put in those slots, they're going to do that. That doesn't mean that John Fitch isn't going to be back in 3 months at a John Fitch appropriate rate.
And, you know, and Dana even said that. He said, when have I not seen a guy go off? And, you know, we said he won't make it to Bellator, but he could fight in Cage Rage in the UK. He'll find a home and gets a couple wins, comes back.
Frank Shamrock, though, is that one exception, I think, to the rule. Although he seems to be doing well.
Fair enough. When we get back, we will break down UFC 157. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.